Doing Midcurrent? Really? Really? How you doing, Midcurrent? There we go. I'm glad to be here, at least. That's good. Hey, you may be new or you may not know who I am. My name is James Brown, and my job is not here. I serve as the National Director of Discipleship for the family of churches that this church is a part of called the Evangelical Covenant Church. And so that's what my job is I work on helping churches understand what we just sang about and share that with the world through their church. And so that's what I do. And just so you know, Sten, who leads this church as the lead pastor, he's part of that as well. And you may not know where he is. He did that video, if you saw it, from some strange room somewhere in the world. He's in Madison, Wisconsin right now as part of a group that our denomination is sponsoring called 30 for 30. And that's basically the top 30 leaders, young leaders in their 30s across the 900 churches that are in this family of churches that we're participating in. So just so you know, Sten is a stud. He's a stud. And that's what he's doing right now is he's gathering together with this collection of leaders, young leaders, learning how to do church and reach their communities like never before. So it's an honor for me to be here speaking again with you. And I just want to start off the message today with a question. And the question is something, maybe you've thought about it, maybe you've never thought about it before, but here it is. Just consider this question. What were you born to do? What were you born to do? And I think that's a great question because all of us have certain things that we are really good at in our lives. There are things that we love to do, things that we're passionate about doing, things that drive us. You know, there are things that we have in our minds that we gravitate toward when we're either bored or we're daydreaming. Our mind just goes to this thing that we feel like we're born to do. And so if you were ever asked, what were you born to do? What would you say? I was born to fill in the blank, fill in the blank. Now, that's a question I want you to think about today. In fact, let's do a little bit of a poll. Since just get to know each other a little bit better, how many of you would say, I was born to shop? I was born to shop. Anybody? Raise your hand. No? So if you walked into Kohl's or Target, they would be like, hey, how are you doing? We know you by name here at this place. Nobody? Nobody wants to admit, at least. How many of you are born like me to eat? To eat. There we go. I see that hand over there. Yeah, your favorite thing is to put on the stretchy pants and go to the all-you-can-eat buffet. Like, that's living the dream. Love that. How many of you are born to sing? Sing anybody? Anybody came out of the womb sounding like Beyonce? Yeah? A couple of you? Good, good. How many of you were born to golf? Anybody? Golfers? No? Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the Golf Channel. You watch it. It's on repeat. Practice range all the time. You know your score is better than your kid's name. Anybody? No? No? Okay. Well, think about that question. I want you to just take 30 seconds, turn to someone around you, and fill in that blank for them. I was born to blah, 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 blah. All right? Talk amongst yourselves. 30 seconds. I was born to whatever it is. All right, what are some of them over here? I was born to what? I was born to? Born to talk? Okay, good. I was born to, over the other side? Born to rock. Woo! Rock on. Okay, anything else on this side? Anything? Okay, got a lot of purpose in life over there. Over here, anything? One more. I was born to? Create. Very good. Now, I thought about this question as well this week, contemplating what was I born to do? And I think I was born to help old people with technology. Seriously, specifically my mother. Specifically, at least once a week, this beloved woman calls me and asks me some sort of technological question about her iPhone or her iPad or her MacBook or TV or cable service, Netflix, whatever. There's going to be something. And what I've noticed over the course of my many, many days is that it's not just her, and I don't know what it is, but wherever I seem to go in my life, I run into people that I would maybe call chronologically accelerated individuals. They approach me with tech questions. I don't know what it is. I've got some sort of like walking geriatric IT department that I just live out in the course of my existence. I don't know what it is. So, but the truth is, we all have this thing. We all have this thing that we feel like we're born to do. And so what I wanted to talk about a little bit today, since we are in a church, is the fact that Jesus also has an answer to that question for us. Now, we've got an answer to that question, but there's also maybe a larger question that we want to get his opinion on as well. And we're gonna look at that, what we were born to do according to Jesus. And the answer to that question is actually found in what I would probably say might be my favorite verse of the whole Bible. And again, I'm the director of discipleship, and so this verse drives what I do every single day, what I'm trying to help our family of churches do. That's what this verse is all about, and I want to share it with you today. So if you have access to a Bible, I would go ahead and open that up if it's on your phone or your physical Bible. If you don't have one, no worries, we're going to put it on the screen as well. But open it to Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. And it says this. It says, one day, as Jesus was walking on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Now follow the story. Simon, also called Peter. So if you ever heard of Peter the disciple or Peter the apostle, that's who we're talking about here. Simon, also called Peter, and then Andrew, who was his brother. And they were throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. That's verse 19. And here's my verse. This is my verse I love. I eat, breathe this verse. And so 19, Jesus called out to these two brothers, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Amazing verse. Now look at verse 20, because this is their response. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Verse 21, a little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them to come too. Look at this, verse 22, their response. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now, to the question, what was I born to do? What are you born to do? Jesus says, very simply, you and I, we are born to fish. Anybody excited about that? Some of you are like elbowing your wife saying, see, yeah, I told you, even Jesus agrees with me. I was born to do this, right? Now, before you get too excited and you grab your fishing gear and you walk out of the building, let me just say this as a point of clarification. Jesus calls every one of his followers to fish, not for bass, not for walleye, not for northern pike or trout, but for what? For people, which I think is fascinating at this point in the story, because up until this moment, this invitation to go fishing for Jesus, right before this, Jesus had zero followers. He had nobody in line to follow him. At this point in the Jesus story, Christianity had zero converts, no converts. But all that changes in this passage, right here with what we're reading right now. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they become his first disciples. They become his first followers. And one of the things I love about Jesus is that he is completely upfront with them, right? There's no bait and switch. No, that was a terrible joke. I'm sorry. Anyway, he tells them exactly what he wants them to do. There's no trickery. He lays his cards right on the table and he says, follow me and I want to show you how to do something. Do what? Now, I think he would say, or if you maybe look at the logic here, that you would think he would say, follow me and I'm going to show you how to be a better person. A lot of people think that's what the call of Jesus is about, being just a better person. Or follow me and I'll show you how to be a better mom or a better dad. You follow me, I'll show you how to be a better husband or wife or friend. No, follow me, Jesus, we think might say. Follow me and I'm going to make you more spiritual. I'm going to make you more holy. Follow me, I'll make you more disciplined. But he doesn't say any of those things. Instead, he says, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Why? Because Jesus is essentially saying to us, this is what you were born to do. Or actually, more accurately, Jesus is saying, fishing for people is actually what I created and designed you to do. And that's it. That's where he is sending us in this story. And I like where the story's going. I mean, quite honestly, I think this is a pretty cool situation here. But I got to be honest, verse 20 is a little bothersome to me. It's a little bit surprising to me because it says, after Jesus gives this invitation to follow him and go fishing for people, it says, at once, Simon and Andrew, these professional fishermen, at once they leave their nets. The nets were like these 25-foot circular nets that they would toss out into there. It was their tool of the trade. Once they leave that, they left that. They left essentially their livelihood. They left it at once to follow Jesus. And I read that after that invitation to come follow Jesus, and I'm like, why would they do that? Like, why so quickly? I mean, it seems a little rushed. I mean, shouldn't we talk about this? Or there should be details or anything. I mean, what's going on here? But the thing is, it wasn't just them. That was what was interesting. In verse 22, it says that James and John, the other two guys, they did the same thing. But it says immediately, they leave their dad Zebedee in the boat to mend the nets on his own, which I'm sure he's like, thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks for the help. You don't get an allowance this week. Like, it's not going to happen. I mean, why would they do that? Why would they leave everything so quickly? Why would they leave it all behind? All this stuff that they'd worked so hard for and worked so hard to do. Why would they do that so quickly? And I think that's a great question. And I'm going to help us answer that question here in a little bit. But before we get to that answer to that question, I want to ask a slightly different question that will get us there. And the question is this. Anybody know how many Gospels there are besides the Matthew's Gospel? How many other ones? Anybody? Three. There's three. There's four Gospels in total. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's three other ones. Gospels essentially means biographies of Jesus. And what's cool is that all of these four Gospels, these biographies of Jesus, they tell the story of Jesus from slightly different lenses. And so let me just give you a tip here. Whenever you read a story about the account of Jesus in one of the Gospels, it's always good to go and check and see if that same story is in another one of the Gospels, because a lot of times it is. And what happens is that in another gospel, it adds this helpful insight or this context that gets us to better understand what's really going on in the story. And the good news for us today is that that's what happens in this passage for us. This same account of these four dudes is found not only in Matthew's gospel, but Mark's gospel. But then in Luke's gospel, there's a significant amount of information that is added for us to see. And it helps us understand why they did things so quickly, why they were willing to leave immediately to follow Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. The same story through Luke's eyeballs. Number 1, verse 1. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. This is prior to the come follow me and I'll make you fishers of people. This is prior to that. Jesus is preaching on the shore. People are coming out to see him. They're kind of pressing in on him. So he's backing up toward the water. In verse 2, he, Jesus, noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were, look at this, washing their nets. That'll be important in a second. Verse 3, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, Simon, same Simon from the other one, his owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat, Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So he gets into Simon's boat, they push out, and he's preaching his sermon to the crowd. So he's kind of away from them so that everybody can hear. And look at verse 4, because this is what Jesus asks Peter to do, Simon Peter to do in this moment. He says, when he had finished speaking, when he wrapped up his conclusion to his sermon, he turns to Simon and he says this, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Go out where it's deeper and then let down your net to catch some fish. Now, I did some reading on this because I was curious about what was actually happening here. And what Jesus was asking these professional fishermen to do made absolutely no sense whatsoever. Like, it was completely illogical what he was calling them to do. First off, at nighttime, what happens is that the fish rise to the surface to feed. It's a little bit cooler, so they rise to the surface, which means that when we pick up the story with these guys, prime fishing time is over. I mean, that's exactly why we see them on the shore washing their nets. The day is over. The workday is over. They've called it quits for the day. That there's really no sense in going back out and fishing some more. That's the first thing. The second thing he asks them to do is to push out into the deep waters. But in net fishing in the Sea of Galilee, the best fishing was not done in the deep waters. It was actually done in the shallow waters. So what Jesus is asking Peter to do is to go at the wrong time and at the wrong place to go fishing again. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever what he's asking him to do. And so as I read through this account, I wish I was a mind reader that could get into Simon Peter's mind, just for a moment. Because if I were him, I would be asking something like this. I'd be saying something like this. I'd be like, okay, you want me to push out into the deep? At the wrong time, wrong place. Okay. Mr. Christ, appreciate the input here, but why don't you just stick to preaching and we'll stick to fishing, right? That's what I would say. I mean, because that's sort of how I think. But that wasn't Simon's response at all. I mean, look at what he says. In verse 5, he says this. He's so good. He says, Master, talking to Jesus, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night. You know, at the time where you're supposed to be fishing? Like, we did that all last night, and we didn't catch a thing. But now you're asking us to go at the wrong time to the wrong place and do it again? Makes no sense. But look at this. But if you say so. I'll let down the nets again. But if you say so. Peter says, I don't quite get what you're doing here, Jesus. It defies all logic. It defies our understanding as professional fisher people. But if you say so, if you think this is what we should do, then we're going to do it. And look what happens in verse 6. And this time, as opposed to last time, this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. Verse 7, a shout for help brought their partners in from the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. I mean, this is the catch of a lifetime. This is the type of thing that they've been waiting for their entire fishing careers, and it just happened. And look what happens. Verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Oh, Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you. Now, I read this and I'm like, what? Peter, this is like the wrong thing. I mean, what kind of response is this? You'd think Peter would want to hang on to Jesus. This guy's a fish magnet. Like, get in the boat, let's go again. Like, this is like how it should be. This is a first century fish whisperer. Like, I've been waiting for you. Come along, let's do this thing. He doesn't say that. He says, leave me. Why would he say that? Well, it's because Simon realizes that Jesus, this one that's in the boat with him, is much, much more than just an accurate fish finder. You see, why he says, leave me because I'm a sinner, is because Peter knows that he is now in the presence of deity. Simon knows that he is in the very presence of God. And so he falls down and he realizes how sinful he really is before God. I mean, look again at his response in verse 9. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. The others, his partners, same guys, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And then here it is. This is what he called them to do. And then Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. Look at it here. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Same story, same call. And look at this. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. See, it makes sense now, right? It makes sense why they were willing to do that. I mean, as I read it before in the other one, I was like, so Jesus says, come follow me. And they're like, I will follow you wherever. Like this zombie mentality. Like, what are they? Why would they do that? I don't know. That's not my experience. But they saw him as God. They got to see him for real. And it made sense that they would follow him. And I don't know what you think about this story, but I love this story. And I hope God DVR'd it. I hope he did, because I want to watch it over and over again when I get to heaven. This moment is so amazing because what it is, it filled in some of the blanks. That's what Luke did for us. It filled in some of these blanks about why these guys were so willing and ready to just pick up everything and leave to follow Jesus. It made sense because Jesus had just flexed his muscles for them. They got this really unique sneak peek at his power. They had a front row seat to the revelation that Jesus was way more than just a good teacher that was great to listen to. So much more than that. Not to mention the fact that he had also given them this glimpse of what they were born to do. He's letting them know that he has more in store for their life than what they were currently involved with. He's calling them to fish for something much, much more significant than just perch or panfish. He's saying that from now on, you got another mission, a greater mission to fish for people. Essentially, what he's inviting them to do is begin spreading the word, to join him in spreading the good news that the Messiah, the awaited one, had arrived, that God had actually come in the flesh. He's inviting them to be able to share the good news that forgiveness for sin is available, that freedom is possible, that those individuals who feel far from God can know that God is actually incredibly close to them. That's what he's inviting them to do, to share that. Simply stated, fishing for people is inviting them to follow Jesus and have their lives and their destinies forever changed. Fishing for people is presenting Jesus to them through our words and through our deeds. It's sharing this overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that we've experienced ourselves. It's just sharing that. It's casting that net so that others can be caught by God as well. It's a beautiful thing he's asking them to do. And maybe you hear that and you're thinking, you know what? Great story, James. Love how you told it. But I'm going to pass this round. I mean, I'm not really a fisher type of person. I mean, I dig Jesus, but I sort of dread talking about him to my friends and my family and the people around me. I mean, after all, my name is not Billy Graham. I'm not Seminary Sam or Extroverted Elaine. I'm not Bible Knowledge Bob. I mean, in fact, I've been looking for Luke 5 this whole sermon and just found it a couple seconds ago. Like, that's where I am right now. That's me. Fishing, yeah, that's going to be for someone else, somewhere else. And I would say, friends, it's so easy to think that way. It is. It really is. And I think that way sometimes as well. But I got to tell you, I'm so glad that Simon and Andrew and James and John didn't think that way. Because we're all here today because they went fishing for people. And if you've been caught, if your life has been changed by God, you'll be in heaven someday because someone else put their objections away and had the courage to fish for you. I'm so glad that they didn't not fish. So the question that I want us to think about is simply this. Who is closer to heaven today because of you? Who is closer to heaven today because of you? Who will have their eternity altered because you were willing to introduce them to Jesus through your life and through your words? Who is following Jesus today because you were willing to fish for them? I mean, that's a heavy question, right? And I think for so many of us, we don't feel prepared to do that sort of thing. And what I find quite reassuring, actually, is that these first disciples, these common, ordinary, working-class, uneducated guys, they didn't know what to do either, but they allowed God to make them something that they currently were not. They were fishers of fish, but they allowed God to make them fishers of people. They allowed God to make them influencers of others. And as you read through these stories about Jesus, these gospels, you see pretty quickly that these original disciples, they were terrible at this. They were horrible at first, but they kept at it. They kept at it. And we've got to keep at it as well. Like these original disciples, we've got to allow Jesus to teach us how to fish. And I know for many of you, same for me, that when we first stepped into a relationship with God through Jesus, our radar was not up for other people. My guess is, like me, you came to Jesus because you couldn't figure out life on your own and sin was weighing you down. And so, like you, I turned to Jesus to forgive me, to fill the emptiness in my heart, to secure a place for me in heaven when I die. And it's true that most of us, if not all of us, we come to Jesus initially out of purely selfish motives, that we want something for us. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus graciously meets us at our deepest need. He meets us in that place, and he makes us new. He transforms our life. He invites us into his family. And the benefits are a mile long that we receive when we follow Jesus. But at the same time, the responsibilities are significant as well. And Jesus is really clear about one of them. That followers fish. Followers fish. And I hate to say it this way, but really it's not an option. As you follow Jesus, part of doing that is fishing for other people. Followers fish. It's part of the package deal. But the reality is that we've made this really complicated. I mean, we've made fishing for people way too complex. And by the way, we've made it way too confrontational. I want you to note this. This is really significant, really important. Jesus did not say, come follow me and I will show you how to hunt for people. Like, that was not the call to action, but it seems to be sometimes. Hunting is confrontational. It's aggressive. Fishing, on the other hand, is attractional. It's more gentle in its approach. It's more intentional in its interaction. But at the end of the day, it still only works if you do it. Quick survey. Let me show you what I mean. Raise your hand if you went fishing in the last 12 months. Go ahead and raise it up in the air like you're proud of your fishing. Okay, keep your hands up. Now keep them up if you caught a fish in the last 12 months. Okay, look around. People, these are the fisher peoples. Catching fish. Okay, put your hands down. It's good, thank you. Now raise your hand if you didn't go fishing in the last 12 months. Go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah. Now keep your hand up if you caught a fish. Exactly my point. Very scientific. Yep. Now, I hate to be Captain Obvious here, but if you want to catch a fish, you have to what? Go fishing, right? Collective duh, right? That's simple, right? You got to go fishing to catch a fish. And the same thing is true when it comes to fishing for people. You have to be intentional. You have to get in the boat and go fishing. So practically, then, what does that mean? I mean, we've got this metaphor of fishing, but what does it really mean in day-to-day life? And Jesus laid this out for us, and it's super simple. He said there's two things that we need to do in our lives. One is love God, and the second one is love your neighbor. That's it. That's how you fish. You love your neighbor. That's it. We've made it so complicated, but it's really quite simple. And there's an idea that Midcurrent has visited before that we're going to visit again in a few weeks, but I wanted to give you a little bit of heads up on it. So if my passer outer friends would help, would you mind helping too? Right there, pass out those bookmarks so everybody has them. So where I work at sort of the head office for our denomination, we try to help people do this better, being able to share this overwhelming, never-ending love that God has given us. We try to share that in creative ways. And one of the ways that Midcurrent has used before and is going to be revisiting again is called Bless. And so we want to be able to bless our neighbors. And so you're receiving a bookmark that I brought to pass out just to give you an idea of how this plays out. This isn't any sort of program or whatever. It's just a way to remember how we bless our neighbors in our day-to-day activities. And so each letter means something. So B is begin with prayer. That as we seek to share this love that God has shown us, we want to begin with prayer. We want to get dialed in to where God is at work so that we can connect and help people see that he is opening their eyes to. So begin with prayer. Secondly, listen with care. Listen with care. This idea that we need to hear before we're heard. It's just relationship 101, that we want to listen for where people are, where God's at work, what God is doing in their lives already. So begin with prayer, listen with care, and then my favorite one, eat together. Eat together. I think Jesus modeled this better than anybody else, that there's something magical about getting together over a meal and sharing life and story, which some of us are going to do here shortly. The first S is serve with love. Find ways to help other people, to essentially say to those around us, our neighbors, I'm for you. I'm for you. How can I help? And then lastly, share your story. That God has moved in a way in your heart, and then you are able to share that story with someone else. Just a simple way to look at what it means to fish for people, what it means to love your neighbor. And for those of you who are Christians, I know this is sort of scary stuff for all of us, but it's what followers of Christ do. Followers fish. We fish. We learn how to do it if we don't know how already. And that's what this Bless idea is really all about, helping us learn how to do that. And believe it or not, you can fish for people. You are a prime candidate to do that because you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. You have influence. And that there is never, ever been or will be anybody like you on this planet, which is good for some of us and wish we had more of others. But that's beside the point. Anyway, there's you and only you, and God has designed you in such a way that someone needs you specifically to fish for them. And so think about that. If you are a follower of Jesus, who did that for you? Who took the time in your life to invest in you? Who showed you Jesus with their life and with their words? And I would say to you, whoever that is this week, send them a note, send them a card if they're still alive. Call them on the phone and thank them for doing that. You'll totally shock them. They'll be like, why are you calling me? Like, they will be so surprised and blessed to hear from you that they took the time to make sure that you were on the path to a relationship with God. If you're a follower of Jesus, do that. For those of you who are not follower of Jesus, maybe you're just curious. Maybe you're in the category of spiritually seeking or inquiring, or maybe you just got drugged here by your parents, or you were bribed with lunch, or whatever. You ended up in this place. You hear this, and this whole thing of fishing for people may sort of turn you off. To think that someone might be fishing for you makes you want to throw up a little bit, maybe. Or maybe you're thinking, that's why I hate Christians. Or maybe you're thinking, I know why I'm your fish. Like, I'm your fish, right? This is how this works. Like, maybe that's not really something you're thrilled about. But I want to say this to you. I just, very simply. It's what we're talking about is not some multi-level marketing scheme. Like, this is not what this is all about. Because we are not the net. We're not the net. We fish. The overwhelming, never-ending love of God is the net. And our responsibility is just to cast it wherever we're able to. And please hear me. We Christians, we followers of Jesus, we've been caught by that net and we love it. We love it. We think that following Jesus is the best thing on the planet. And we simply want you to experience what we've experienced as well. That's it. That's it. That's all. And so maybe today, that is your next step. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. So if you would, just bow with me as we pray. God, we just pause right now and give you these next few moments. And I would say, if you're here today and you are not a follower of Jesus, but you want to be, that you want to be caught in God's love, that I want to just lead you in a prayer. You don't have to pray it out loud. Please don't pray it out loud. Just pray it in your heart. He hears you. But if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus today as you follow him, just say in your heart, Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth and making a way where there was no way to have a relationship with God. And so today, I ask for your forgiveness. I will begin to follow you as you lead me to become the person you designed me to be. And I thank you for the new life you've given me today. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, today I pray, God, that you would give us courage to step into the call on our lives that you've given us, that we were born to share this love with those around us. And I pray even today that you would open our ears and open our eyes and give us the ability to see where you are at work and the people that we need to bless as we invite them into our lives. God, we thank you for what you've done for us. Help us to move others closer to you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.